in the grave like Confucius, there's not much to shout about. If he's in the grave like Mohammed, there's not much to shout about. But my God came forth triumphant out of the grave, triumphant over death, triumphant over hell, triumphant over every work of the devil. And he came forth to bring captivity captive. He brought him out. He brought him up from under the yoke of Satan, and he gave life. Well, that first Easter morning, if you want to call it Easter, I'd rather call it Resurrection morning. There were some women went to the grave, went to the tomb, and they were going to anoint the body. They got there, and all of a sudden, the tomb's empty. I want you to know the tomb's still empty. He's sitting on the throne of heaven. He's sitting on the throne of Almighty God, waiting to hear from us. They met some angels there. The angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You're not going to find the living Christ among the dead works of this world, the dead works of religiosity. You'll find the living Christ, as we said, on the throne of glory." They got all excited and they went back and told some others. They said that sounded like idle words to them because they just didn't believe it. They had walked 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, and Jesus had opened His Word to them. They'd seen the miracles that He had done, but when they laid Him in the grave, it said their eyes were holding, or they were blinded, and they would not believe. Of course, that's the key to everything, isn't it? Believing. Well, the women got real happy. They went back and they told Peter and John. Peter and John had a foot race going down to the tomb. John was a little younger, and John could run a little faster, and he outran Peter. Tell you what, they might outrun us, but we never quit running, do we? There's just something that puts a spring in our step, and when we're going to see the empty tomb and we're running back to tell somebody that He is not there, He is risen as He said, it puts a spring in our step, and it puts His words of utterance on our lips, and we decide that we have to find somebody to tell, somebody to share with, that I've been to the tomb and He's not there. He's risen just like He said. He poured out His life's blood for me, and I feel that blood anointing upon me. He washed away my sins, and I am now white as snow, and I've got to tell you about it. Run and tell somebody about Jesus. Run to the downhearted, run to the oppressed, run to those that are in the prison, and claim the anointing that Jesus claimed in Luke 4:18. Said the Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to release the captive. Preach the good news that now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Am I the only one excited in here this morning? Oh, praise God. We're just laying some groundwork. We have not even getting a sermon. We will leave some time. Okay, and behold, there was two of them. Two of the disciples. Two who had walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, who had seen the bread broken, no doubt, and who had seen the blinded eyes open. And they had their own expectations. They said, well, we had trusted that it was Him that was going to do this. It was Him that was going to do that. But if He didn't do it, they killed Him. They put Him in the cross. They laid Him on a tomb, in a tomb. And we are downhearted. We are disappointed. All our expectations are crushed. Jesus will never meet your expectations. He will exceed them. Is that fair? We can't put Him in a box and we try to orchestrate Him and try to get Him to do things our way. He will fool us every time because He's going to do it His way. We try to write Him down in a creed sometimes, and He's bigger than the creed. But He never violates the living Word. We find Him, and we're going to get into it. We find Him from Genesis to Revelation. Just about every book of the Bible points to Him or back to Him. And it points to the purpose that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Go and tarry at Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that you've heard of me. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost to come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me and unto all nations, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, they're walking along hanging their heads. And suddenly, who do you think showed up? Huh? Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Well, that's a little better. Jesus showed up. Hey, what's the problem, boys? How come you're hanging your head? They said, well, have you heard what happened? We had our expectation. We trusted that they were going to, Jesus was going to redeem Israel. They had their scope of thought in their mind, just what he was going to do. It's all past. Said Jesus began to open unto them the scripture of things concerning himself. You got problems. You're on the road to Emmaus. You're on the road to despair. If you got problems, join the club. That's called life 101. But I know the problem solver. I know the one, if you're sick in your body, I know the one who bled on the cross, and by his stripes we are healed. You have mental distress. I know the one that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. If you are in despair, he's borne our sorrows and carried our grief. That's what he opened up to him, I believe, on the road to Emmaus. And he opened up, he said to another place, said he started at Moses. He went to the Psalms. He went to the prophets of things concerning himself. If I get back into Genesis, and that's Moses, the third chapter, I find that he is the seed of the woman. I find that God slew an animal and clothed them with a skin and shed blood for the remission of sins, a type of Jesus Christ that was to come. I find him a type in Isaac being offered upon the sacrifice, upon the altar, and said the Lord, he will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. He is the promised lamb. I find him at the end of Genesis where Jacob leaned on his staff, an old man, and he's blessing the 12 tribes, and he said, the scepter shall not depart from Israel, from Judah, until Shiloh comes, until the peacemaker comes, until the lawmaker comes. And I want you to know that he came out of the tribe of Judah, just like the Word said, and he's sitting on the throne of his father David, just like the Word said, and he's sitting on the throne of heaven, just like the Word says, and he's coming to rule this world with a rod of iron. He's coming to rule this world in equity and peace and justice. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Do we ever fall into that category? We can come to church, and sometimes we get churchitis. We get churched out because we're slow to believe. We're slow to believe what we're preaching. We're slow to believe what we're reading. But when we put the thing into practice and get into the Word of God and realize who Jesus is and what he came to accomplish, all of a sudden church becomes a joy. All of a sudden we're running back to tell the other 11. We're running back to tell the one who is oppressed. We're running back to tell the one who is sick that the healer has shown up. Suddenly he appeared. He invited Jesus in as a guest. You know what happens when you invite Jesus in as a guest? Something happens every time. Something happens every time when you invite him in. Oh, he began to open up the Word unto them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? As he opened up unto us along the way the things concerned himself. They still didn't realize who he was. Well, they saw him, Jesus, they went to break bread. They recognized him. I don't know what they recognized. Maybe they had been there at the breaking of bread on the mountain. But maybe Jesus had talked about Melchizedek, who brought forth the bread and the wine that was a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, that His body was broken for our healing, His blood was shed for our remission of sins. But when Jesus broke that bread, they recognized Him. Jesus vanished, and they couldn't sit still. I think it was 8 miles back to Jerusalem, and it was already nighttime, and they were tired. But they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to tell somebody. And they ran back. I believe they did some running. And they ran back and they told the 11. Well, they went back and told the 11. And while they're telling it, guess who shows up? Guess who comes just in time? When we do our part, guess who's doing his part? You know what? I don't think he just showed up. I think the Bible said he was in a different form at times. I believe he was there all the time. And I believe he was here this morning when we came into his house. We didn't sing him down. We just got the distractions out of the way so we could recognize him. Is that right? We didn't drum it up. You can't drum it up. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? There am I in the midst. I've been on the road a couple times. Road to despair. Road of not being able to figure things out. I remember when the doctor said, you got cancer. I don't like that word. Somebody prayed for me. Jesus showed up. They took the cancer out. The cancer was dead. It's not returned. The devil thought he was going to kill me plugging up my heart. Tell you what, Jesus showed up. He's pumping. A little while later, fell in the cactus patch. Some of you remember it. Got a little stumbly around here. A little dizzy. I've been accused of that since. Went to the doctor. He said, you got to go to another doctor and get your head examined. I've been told I need that a few times. They took pictures. I saw the pictures. Water all over that brain. That's not a big, good road to be walking on. But I remember crying out, Lord, I don't want a hose in my head. Just to put it bluntly. You know what? Jesus showed up. Went back to the doctor. He said, I don't know what happened. There's the picture. There's nothing there. Well, I've been told that too. It's empty. Well, we won't go there. The water was gone. Jesus showed up. The healer showed up. The deliverer showed up. The one who poured out his life blood for me on Calvary was there all the time. And his cleansing, anointing, healing blood flowed over my soul and healed my body. I remember another time on the road. My money got involved. When that gets involved, that gets my attention. Anybody identify with that? The hospital said, you owe 50,000 big ones. And the insurance company said, we're not paying it. That's a little bit of despair. We went to God in prayer. And guess who showed up and solved the problem? The problem solver showed up. The union representative interceded on my behalf, and he called the Blue Cross representative. And the woman said, yeah, we paid it. I don't know why. We shouldn't have done it, but we paid it. Why? Because Jesus showed up. One day I needed the Savior. Jesus showed up, reminded me of His Word, reminded me that He's the Lamb slain, reminded me that He's the child born, the Son given, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Reminded me that He is Emmanuel, God with us. reminded me that He is the suffering servant, reminded me that He is the branch of Jesse, reminded me that He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel, reminded me that He is the refiner in Malachi of the gold and the silver who's going to judge and purify and sanctify. Reminded me of His Word that I need to repent. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's how He summed it up. And I believe that these two fellows on the road to Emmaus, and after their eyes were open and they went back rejoicing and shouting and sharing the good word, and you know, Jesus told them when He ascended, tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. I believe that they were there. They were daily in the temple praising and magnifying God because of what they had seen. They'd been to the tomb and He wasn't there. I believe that they spent 40 days listening to a risen Christ. They'd said, just on the road, a couple hours, it said, our hearts burn with this. Acts 1 and 3 tells me that Jesus spent 40 days speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and I believe that they were there taking in every word. I believe that they were there on the day of Pentecost when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house wherein they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and they began to speak in other tongues and magnify the Lord. The crowd assembled and said, hey, these people are drunk. We get accused of that sometimes around here. Yeah, we are. We're drunk on new wine. We're drunk on the wine of the Holy Ghost. We're drunk on the one who poured in the oil and the wine. We're drunk on the one who broke the bread and served the wine of His blood. Peter got up and began to preach, and Peter went right back to the Old Testament and he talked about the one that they had slain. He said that talked about the one who was going to sit on the throne of David, and that's what all those good Jewish people recognized. People were pricked in their hearts. They cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? Didn't say, what shall we do, or what we ought to do, what would it be nice to do, what can we do when we get around to it? He said, what must we do? And I believe that these two stood with the 11 and the 120 in agreement when Peter stood up and said, repent. That's where it starts. Do it God's way, not yours. Be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that is one phrase of the Bible that everybody wants to debate, everybody wants to stumble on. I don't know why I have to be baptized. Well, just like Nike said, just do it. Jesus commanded it, just do it. Well, I don't know if my sins are remitted in the water or when I ask forgiveness. Just do it and you don't have to worry about it. They're gone. They've been washed away. The old man was buried with his deeds and you have risen to rise in newness of life into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Are you on the road this morning? I don't know what your need is. If you're alive, you got problems. If you don't have problems, you're going to have them tomorrow. Like we said, the problem solver is there all the time. He's walking beside us and he said, hey, what's bothering you? Don't you know that I suffered? Don't you know that I died? Don't you know that I entered into my glory? And don't you know that repentance and remission of sin is preached in my name so that you can have fellowship with me? Don't you know I'm coming again for you? If you're over 30, you got health problems. I'll guarantee it. If you're not, wait till you're 40. Whatever, they're going to show up. But guess who shows up with them? What's his name? Is he the healer? Is He the great physician? Is He the problem solver? Is He there all the time? And He was here this morning, wasn't He? He's here, and we came and we met Him. And I hear Him speaking right now, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Tired of batting your head against the wall? Come to Jesus. Give it all to Him. Don't rely on your expectations. Don't rely on what you trusted that He would do. Rely on His Word, and He will surprise you what He will do. And every now and then, there's somebody who says, "I'm just too bad. The Lord can't do anything with me. Gone too far." And I hear the words of the Savior, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise." What part of "no wise" don't we understand? "I will in no wise cast out." I'm just happy this morning for a risen Savior who has gone with me from the cradle to my older years. Never left me. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He said, "I'm with you. I will be in you." I'm happy for that this morning. God bless you.